السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers and also sisters listening over receivers, this morning whilst making tilawat of the Quran Sharif, this verse which I had discussed previously in some majlis a few years ago, if Allah knows where best when. So having read this ayat of the Quran Sharif and looking at what is happening around the globe, the world at large, mutual rivalry and all the other problems, so I decided to discuss it again tonight. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, I'lamu. I'm just giving an explanation of this verse. Ya'lamu, know well. And who is saying that we must know well? It is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying that know well. In other words, remove that wax from your ears and listen carefully. Know it very, very well. What I am saying is nothing but the truth. That's what it means. That we can have doubts if some human being has to say something. If he gives some opinion, if he comes up with some research, some new scientific facts, so then we can still have some doubts that after some time there can be changes in what that person has come up with. Every day there is a new discovery, every day there is a new research, every day there are new theories, new theories. So there is all the time what we term as construction and destruction of theories. So what man says, there can be doubts. But what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, there can be absolutely no doubt. And then again Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying, I'lamu. This is a majlis of Islah. And what can be more better for Islah than the Quran Sharif? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, I'lamu. Know well. That means there's no doubt in it what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying. Whatever example Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives also, it is the best of all examples. In the Quran Sharif, Allah ta'ala has given many, many examples, many, many similitudes, many, many analogies. Now all those are the very best. You cannot find anything better than that. With the noor and the barakat of the Quran Sharif, then the ulama, the mashayikh, the muhaddithin, the mufassirin, the wa'izin, all these people, then they give different examples. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whatever He says, there can be nothing better than that. He says, I'lamu annama al-hayatu dunya la'ibun wa lahw. What is this world? What is the life of this world? What are the different stages of this world? What are the different experiences of people in this world? What stages does a person pass through in his life? when he is in this world, the haqiqat and the reality of this world. Now who is informing us of this haqiqat and reality? The creator of the world. Allah Ta'ala is creator of the world and he is the creator of man. And now he is informing us of the haqiqat and the reality. So who can be a better or more knowledgeable one than the one who created it? There could be nobody having more knowledge of what the universe is all about and what the world is all about besides Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. No matter how much progress man makes in science and in other technology, but he cannot know everything that's above the heavens and beneath the earth and on the surface of the earth. His knowledge is very, very limited. Very limited. And he has to make use of all that which Allah Ta'ala has created to come to conclusions. All the scientific research that is done, what do they use to come to those conclusions? The material that Allah Ta'ala has created. Everything is from the earth. So a person cannot be independent. We are dependent on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala's knowledge also is perfect knowledge. Allah Ta'ala is now informing us the haqiqat of this worldly life. Hayatul dunya, the life of this world. Allah Ta'ala is informing us of its haqiqat. What is the haqiqat of the life in this world, which we consider to be everything? Our mind doesn't even go into the akhirat. And if somebody has to talk about mouth and death and akhirat and jannat and jahannam, then sometimes we don't want to even listen to it. Because we feel that our properties will get snatched away. And that which we are living for will be taken away from us. So what is the purpose of then listening? So Allah Ta'ala says, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ لَعِبٌ. First stage is لَعِب. And Allah Ta'ala mentions it in order. And there is great wisdom of Allah Ta'ala when he mentions something in a certain sequence. That is the age that we term as infancy. When a little baby or little child, 1-2 years of age or 2-3 years of age. Now at that time, that child, what does it engage in? La'ib. That child hasn't got a kind of understanding of philosophy and science and this world and the hereafter and a'mal-e saliha and a'mal-e sayyi'a, good deeds and bad actions, all those things. At that age, the child doesn't know anything. What the child wants is play. Play, amusement, that's all. Child just wants amusement and play. It is at age when they want to play with, the boys want to play with toy cars, and the girls want to play with Barbie dolls. That's the age. That's all. And they fight over those toys. Somebody has got half a dozen of them in the house, and all around the same age, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then see how they fight over those toys. Not only over the toys, those little sweets or chocolates or anything that the father or the mother has brought. And if they don't get a fair share, then look at the fight and the argument. And that child believes that that is my life and that is my asset. And they will scream and shout and cry and fight. My brother took my toy away. He took my car away. Now that car must be worth a few rands. But look at the fight and the argument over that. Because they truly believe that that's the asset. That is life. There's nothing beyond that. And yet if that child after that, after 40 years or 50 years of age, when the mother, father has to tell them that this is how you performed, and this is how you put up tantrum, and this is how you screamed and you cried, and this is how you beat up your brother and sister just because they played with your toy, then this person won't even believe it. Because to him now it is absolutely futile and useless. He doesn't want to even think of those toys. What would we think of somebody who is a grown up, beard is gone white, and is fighting with a 2-year-old child for a car, for his toy car? He brings two, one for himself and one for the 2-year-old, and then he fights with him. We all will take it as a big joke, and we say this old man was going to have his head checked up somewhere. So that is the stage, first stage, laib. Then as the child grows up, so laib and lahu, these are the two things that the person engages in. اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ. Pastime, amusement. The Mufassirin have given a little difference between laib and lahu. That in laib, where there is no motive at all, there is no benefit at all, there is no kind of wisdom behind it, that why I am playing this game also, nothing. And in lahu, they say that child has grown up a little now, so there is some kind of strength in the body, health, so this engaging in, again, pastime, something that's pastime, futile, nothing really constructive. But sometimes there could be some sideline benefit from that game. But generally, it's nothing but pastime. The person is distracted. The person is distracted. He doesn't worry about akhirat or jannat, jahannam or anything like that. Nothing, just wants amusement, play, sport, pastime. So that is the second stage that the person now engages in. And then when the person comes to youth, then now is junoon, madness. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, was zina. Zina is a decoration, beautification. Now that young boy and young girl, it's all kinds of lotions and for face creams and powders and lipstick and all kinds of things, nothing but decoration. The person wants to beautify in different things. This is his only asset now. The person just wants to be glued to the mirror. Sometimes it's the hairstyle, sometimes it's the clothing, sometimes it's the new dresses that the women have bought, or the jewelry, or the rings, or the earrings. All these things, they're admiring it all the time in the mirror. Decoration and beauty. Now that becomes the life. Allah Ta'ala is saying that, know well that this is the hayat of dunya. That now it's nothing but decoration. Tujhe har waqt ye dhun hai, rahun sab se bala, ho zinat nirali, ho fashion nirala. Tujhe har waqt ye dhun hai, rahun sab se bala, ho zinat nirali, ho fashion nirala. Jiya karta hai kya yuhi marne wala, tujhe husne zahir ne dhoke mein dala. This outward beauty, he says, put you into deception. Har waqt ye dun hai rahun sab se bala, ho zinat nirali, ho fashion nirala. When I'm amongst my friends, my clothes must be talked about. My watch must be talked about. My cell phone must be talked about. Now that young person, that's all he wants. That he must be talked about. His fashion becomes his goal. O zinat nirali, o fashion nirala. Jiya karta hai kya yuhi marne wala. This is how a person who knows he's going to die lives. Again, we must not misunderstand that it's not permissible to wear good clothes or good shoes or buy a good watch or good cell phone. That is not what we are suggesting or saying. We are talking about obsession, where the person becomes obsessed with these things. or he goes beyond the boundaries and beyond the limits. He forgets about the parameters of Sharia. That is what we are talking about. So then it is zina. And then comes tafakhurum bainakum. Mutual boasting. Watakathurun fil amwali wal awlad. And mutual rivalry when it comes to wealth and children. These are the things that happen after that. Tafakhur, pride. I own this, you. I have this, I have that. So this mutual boasting, they pass statements also which clearly reflect that there's nothing but boasting. Every person wants to boast about his achievements in life. I achieved this, I achieved that, I did this, I did that. It's a world of I's after that. Sometimes we even say that it is tahdis and amad, that we are saying it out of shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But Allah ta'ala knows what is in the hearts. Therefore, tahdis and amad is also for those people who have purified their hearts. Otherwise, they must check their intention. Why are they saying those things which they are saying? The person who says, I go every year for umrah, I go every year for hajj, I build that masjid, I equip that library, I took care of so many widows and orphans and destitutes. So he can say it, making shukr of Allah Ta'ala, and he can also say it out of pride. And so that he may be recognized and known as a very generous and a charitable person. So now Allah Ta'ala knows that we can't hide and conceal from Allah Ta'ala. He knows in our minds what there is. So what is the purpose of then announcing if it is not out of tahdis of ni'mat, it is not showing gratitude to Allah Ta'ala, but it is out of pride or show business. Then the person, whatever he spent, a few people may praise him for that for a little while, but after that is nothing. Nothing in the akhirat. And then this takathur fil amwal wal awlad. As Allah Ta'ala mentions in Al-Hakum al-Takathur hatta zurtum al-Maqabir. It's again the same thing. Mutual rivalry in the amassment of wealth. Now that again, until the person doesn't go to the grave, until the sand of the grave does not fill his stomach, nothing else will fill it. So these are the different stages. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says, what is the example of all this? كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ. Meaning that when the rain comes down, then those who are farmers, when they see the crops growing because of that rain that came, it makes them amazed, makes them very, very happy and excited that the rains came, and see now the crops are growing, vegetation, lovely crops, whatever was planted is growing. But what happens after some time? Allah Ta'ala says after that, ثُمَّ يَهِيج فَتَّرَاهُ مُسْفَرَّ. Then it withers, and then you will see it has turned yellow. It turns yellow. The leaves have turned yellow. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا. And then it becomes straw. That is the general condition. Just leave the crops to grow, leave the vegetation and the grass to grow. Then after some time it will wither, turn yellow, pale, fall on the ground and turn to dust. So this is the haqiqat of the life of this world. That the baby comes into this world, goes through the different stages, and every stage of that child's life, the child thinks that this is life. The youth, the child thinks this is life. Infancy, the child thinks that this is life. And whatever I own, that's my assets. And that's my property. And that is what I'm living for. And that is what I'm dying for. I will not allow anybody into my territory. Like when we built castles on the sand. Like little children, we used to build castles, sand castles. So we call it also sand castles. And those castles that are built in other countries of the world and in our country, those are also built with sand. What is the difference? Both are built with sand. Now on this sand castle, after the person has built a big sand castle and says, I've got more rooms, I've got bigger lounge, I've got bigger kitchen, I've got bigger yard for playing, and I've got bigger rooms. Now the person is bragging about his castle. Then one child comes running and jumps on their castle, flattens it up. Now there's another fight. You destroyed my castle, you destroyed my castle. And look at the fight that takes place after that. So these children play with toys, with sand castles. And we play with big, big toys and big, big castles. They play with small toys and sand castles. And we also play with cars and big, big castles and fight over it. Until our dying day, there's a fight. This is mine, it's my territory, and I cannot part with it. So that is the haqiqah and the reality. It's a deception that we truly believe that we are not going to part from these things. Again, I repeat, and I will go on repeating, this does not mean that we must not make use of the dunya. Allah Ta'ala has created the dunya for us. It's not our jannat, but He has created it for us. Let's make use of it. Nobody stops anyone from that. The heavens and the earth have been created. The disbelievers are only using it because of some believer in the world making Allah. The day there will be nobody left to make Allah, everything will be destroyed. So we are not saying that must not make use of it. But the fights and the quarrels and the destruction that is bringing in families and in societies around the globe, that is the lesson that we take from here. That look at the different stages of life. That as we grow up, then we begin to think that, what was I doing? How stupid and foolish I was fighting over that little toy. How foolish I was fighting over those insignificant games. As we grow up, then we realize how foolish we were. And if somebody has to remind us also, we will say that, no, I don't think we did such a stupid thing. So when we grow up and we have the intelligence and we have the money and we have the properties and we have the assets, and we do the same thing that those little children were doing, so then when we will go from here to the next world, then we will realize that what we were doing was stupid, it was foolish. We should have earned our money through halal sources. We shouldn't have gone towards haram. We shouldn't have gone beyond the limits that Sharia had placed. Even if we had to survive on half a loaf of bread, we would have been much happier if we had done that. Then that too, we grabbed that which was not belonging to us, that which was haram for us, that which was not rightfully due to us in inheritance, but because of the will which was un-Islamic, through the court of law we were granted that property. We wish we had not taken that. How that child, as it grows up, considers those fights that he had over those cars and castles as stupid. This is what this person will then think when he goes into the akhirah, or when he goes into the qabr. And that is how man also grows up. The child after that grows up, youth, middle age, old age, and gone. And old age, as I mentioned many, many times, that one undertaker told me just 2 or 3 years ago, that 60% of those whom he buried in that year, and a number of burials he undertook, says more than 60% of them were under 30 years of age. Under 30. Amongst them were babies. Amongst them were babies, 2 day old, 3 day old, just born, gone. Just born and gone. And there were others of 10, 15, 20. So old age is something that we must forget about now. But even if a person has to live to old age, and that's the time now, everything is withering, everything is turning yellow, the time is coming to turn to dust, then what is this person now fighting and bragging and boasting and showing off and entering into big, big arguments when his one leg is already in the grave? Jaga ji lagane ki duniya nahi hai, ye ibrat ki ja hai, tamasha nahi hai. Tujhe bachpan ne pehle barson khilaya, tujhe bachpan ne pehle barso khilaya. That is what we're talking about. La'ibun wala. Bachpan, childhood. Play, amusement, that's all. Tujhe bachpan ne pehle barso khilaya, jawani ne phir tujhko majnu banaya. Jawani ne phir tujhko majnu banaya. And then came jawani, and the person went mad. When jawani comes, youth comes, the person goes mad. Except for those whom Allah Ta'ala saves with His rahmat and mercy. Otherwise they become rebellious. Parents just don't know what to do. Every day without fail, there must be some father, mother phoning. I don't know what to do with my son. I don't know what to do with my daughter. They become rebellious. Most of the time the parents themselves are responsible for that. They are to be blamed for what kind of upbringing they gave to those children. But in any case, jawani ne phir tujhko majnu banaya. I was talking to some young friends there in the foyer, Madina Sharif Hotel, and I told them, I said, you are in youth. Y-O-U. You are in youth. Your youth that you have got, you are in there. See, Y-O-U. So either you preserve your youth, you make something of your youth, you progress in this youth, you make constructive progress, advance in the right fields, or you destroy your youth. It's in your hands. You are in youth. It's in your hands. Either you make or you break. So it is stupid and foolish that when Allah Ta'ala has given youth, which will never come again, then you use it for drugs or for drink or wine and women, because it's going to destroy you. It's not going to help you. So look after this you in this youth. You are in that youth. And it went on for about 45 minutes, that nasihat. Alhamdulillah, they were listening very carefully. It wasn't planned to be any kind of bayan. So tujhe bachpan ne pehle barso khilaya, jawani ne phir tujhko majnu banaya. That is what happens. The person goes madly in love with some beautiful face, and then after that all the time the cell phone, computers, chit-chat, mix it, this, that, spoils and wastes his life. The youth is gone. When the youth is gone, then the person realizes and says, I wish I had my youth. But it's too late. We all who wasted our youth, now we realize. We wish we had made something of ourselves at that time, instead of wasting it in idle pastime. Tujhe pehle bachpan ne barso khilaya, jawani ne phir tujhko majnu banaya. Budhape ne phir aake kya kya sataya, ajal tera kar de gi bilkul safaya. And then old age will come, then pain in the knees and pain in the joints and pain in the head, and whole body is aching and can't walk and can't run. Then sometimes on stick the person has to take support, and sometimes wheelchair. the person has to be moved around, and sometimes the person gets bedridden. Old age is a very, very difficult thing. We must always ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for good health, long life, but at the same time that Allah Ta'ala must not make us muhtaj of anybody in old age. If He gives old age, it must be with sanity. The person must not become senile. He must not become a burden on others. So many old people, they become burden on others. And it's not of their own doing. It's old age. Allah Ta'ala wants to give rewards to the children that make some khidmat of this old father, mother now and get the best of Jannat. But then we know the condition of children these days. That how many children are really concerned about their old father and old mother? They will say, take them and dump them in some old age home. We don't have the time. We are very occupied. So therefore we must ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection from becoming totally dependent on somebody else. We must ask Allah Ta'ala to take us away from this world before that time comes that we become totally dependent on others. We say, Ya Allah, don't allow that kind of time to come upon us. So tujhe pehle bachpan ne barton khilaya, jawani ne phir tujhko majnu banaya, budhape ne phir aake kya kya sataya. How many old people are really, really suffering? How many people can the old age home take? And it is very, very sad. But I will tell you with qasam in the masjid, that majority of those cases are those people who themselves neglected their parents. Majority of them. Because I deal with many, many cases and I know the condition of people. Because their parents would have come to me sometimes, oh, I know their condition. That they had neglected their parents. They had treated them very badly. They hadn't given them love and affection. No one said that put that burden on your wives. No one said that. It was the duty of that son. And if he wanted his wife to assist and help in taking care of his parents, then he should have done it with his hikmat, with wisdom, and with encouragement, and making sure that the person gives the wife her due rights and at the same time does not burden her and does not force her and does not put pressure upon her. If they had done that, then in their old age Allah Ta'ala would have put love into the hearts of their children to take care of them. Go and check in all the families and see. Majority I'm talking. We'll get some exceptions as a test for those old people. Majority of the cases, those people who ill-treated their parents, they were not in talking terms with their parents, they showed no love and compassion and mercy for their parents in their old age, then when this person grows old, he'll get the same treatment, unless of course they ask for forgiveness, maaf, or made a lot of dua for the parents that passed away, ask for, send sawab to them, then it's different. But otherwise we have to suffer the same thing. That is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's system. Whatever we do comes back to us. So old age, he says, then troubled you so much. And finally death came and took you away from this world. The beautiful flowers, how long will they be there? Autumn will come. The nightingale will sing for a little while. But after that, what will happen? The nightingale thinks that that flower will remain in full bloom all its life. Therefore it was giving its life to that flower. But when the flower withered and fell, then that nightingale had to cry. So don't think that everything will remain permanently. Take lessons from all the janazas that keep going. Janazas are going all the time. Phool murja gaye chandni dal gayi. In poetry, that is what it is. The same thing what we are talking here. Kama sal ghaisin ajab al kuffara nabatuhu thumma yahij fatarahu musfarra thumma yakunu hutama. In this beautiful poetry, that is what he has mentioned. Mullaki Mukhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, he says, Phool mur ja gaye chandni dal gayi. Apna anjaam bhi keh gayi har kali. Phool mur ja gaye chandni dal gayi. The moon that was shining brightly, after some time it waned. And what happened after? Where's all the brightness gone of it? And the flower which was in full bloom, it withered and it fell. Phool mur ja gaye chandni dal gayi, apna anjaam bhi keh gayi har kali. Be nishaan ho gaye har nishaan, qabr mein khaak chaani magar kya mili. Be nishaan ho gaye har nishaan, qabr mein khaak chaani magar kya mili. Go to the parks where you see the beautiful flowers, blue, green, red, white, purple, all colors, beautiful flowers, in full bloom. And after some months go again and see what has happened to those flowers. Now check in that ground and the earth if you can find some colors there. All the beautiful colors, now check in the earth if there's any colors there. In the sand, will we find any color? So all these things we make use of because we are in a world of means, asbab. Allah Ta'ala has created the world and He has made it a world of means, so therefore we make use of all these means. But that livelihood of ours must not become such an obsession that the person is unconcerned now about halal and haram. He's unconcerned about his salat of Zuhr and Asr. Now an Asr will come, 4 o'clock, quarter to 4. At that time, must check the imani level of all our very, very pious Muslim society. Check the imani level, Asr time. On a Friday or other days when it's very, very busy in the stores. And Maghrib namaz is about 5 o'clock. There are so many bosses, Muslim bosses, who will then tell the staff, Muslim staff, that don't waste your time in Salat. Nauzubillah. You can go and make qaza afterwards. We are very busy and customers come first. Wallah, I'm telling you the truth. You get these type of complaints. That we are not allowed to even go and make a wasar salat. He doesn't make, but he doesn't even allow us to make. And if they give some time to make also, keeps looking at the watch. So that is what we mean by obsession. And Allah Ta'ala is warning us about that. And therefore He gives us this beautiful example. As وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. In the hereafter, shadeed azab, very painful punishment, severe punishment. For the kuffar it is there, but even for the doers of evil. All those people who wasted their life in evil, in haram, engaging and indulging in sins and vices, then Allah Ta'ala says, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. But then for those who are pious and righteous, and those even in the businesses they were making sure that they perform the salat on time, that they give the zakat, that they do not cheat, they do not deceive anybody, they do not conceal any defect in any article, and they are earning also for the fulfillment of the rights of the wife, of the children, of the parents, to support them, and they are earning so that they may be able to be the people that are giving towards masajid, madaris, poor, needy, destitute. They don't want to extend their hands and beg of anyone. So then for them Allah says, وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٍ. Maghfirat from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Person is doing everything of this world and is getting maghfirat. Again, that's example, if it's going to come 1,000 times, I'm going to repeat. That we don't have to leave this world and go anywhere else or bring another body to get the akhirat. It's the same world that we are living in. We have to make use of the very same things and make our jannat, make our akhirat. Make it Allah Ta'ala's raza wa ridwan. Wa maghfiratum min Allah wa ridwan. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's pleasure. Wa ridwanum min Allah akbar. Allah Ta'ala's pleasure is a very, very great thing which we do not understand. If Allah Ta'ala is pleased, then it means the kingdoms of Allah Ta'ala are with. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri. Jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. That's what it is. If you get Ridwan, if you get Allah Ta'ala's Raza. So Allah Ta'ala says, for them it is Maghfirat. So I was saying that we don't have to leave this world and go somewhere else. We don't have to bring some other body. It's the same hands, the same feet, the same eyes, the same head, the same wealth, the same home, the same wife, the same children. Nothing else. All we have to do is conduct our life according to this Quran Sharif and the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his teachings. That's all. And we get Allah's raza and we get Jannah and Akhirat. Now what can be more simpler than that? We are going to eat, even if it is the best of food the person is eating, he can still make his Akhirat. He is wearing good clothes, he can still make his Akhirat. Same wealth. So that's why that example I was talking about. That Allah Wala, he says that in the beginning it took me real effort to discipline my eyes, my ears, my tongue. But after they were disciplined, then now I feel like kissing my own hands. I feel like kissing my own eyes because they became the means of my connection with my beloved Allah. I feel like kissing my own feet because they became the means of my connection with my Allah. Because the feet walked towards the masjid now. Before it used to walk towards the rave club, discos, cinemas, theatres. Now the person is going towards the masjid, is going towards places that are pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. So therefore now he says, I feel like kissing my own feet. Those eyes which used to ogle and which used to cast lustful glances and all, now those eyes are looking at the Quran Sharif, looking at the Kaaba Sharif, looking at Marwaza Mubarak, looking at the parents, looking at the children, looking at the trees, looking at the forest, looking at the waters of the ocean, looking at the ships beautifully sailing on the waters of the ocean, looking at the animals in Kruger National Park and looking at the waterfalls. Now the same eyes, now he's looking at the right things, so nothing wrong. Now these eyes are becoming a means of his connection with Allah Ta'ala. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا Illa mata'ul ghurur. What is this hayat of dunya? Nothing but deception. So in which other way can we explain this? Allah Ta'ala, how loving He is. Like how a father who is loving, a mother who is loving, and explains to the child in different ways. Like that Allah Ta'ala throughout the Quran Sharif tries to explain to us that He loves us. He is full of mercy for us. Allah Ta'ala wants us to enjoy the best of this world and the best of the Akhirah. He wants us to walk with a heart that is filled with the Noor and the Tajalli. Allah Ta'ala wants us to walk on this earth with a heart that is enjoying sukoon, peace, tranquility. But we don't enjoy it and we destroy other people's tranquility and peace also with our problems. But Allah Ta'ala, that is what He wants to give to us. So just a few years of effort, that's all. Not millions of years or hundreds of years, or just a few years, Allah Ta'ala knows how long. And then the person enjoys the best of both worlds. May Allah Ta'ala bless me, bless you, and bless the Ummah with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رحيم يا كريم يا مولا يا ستار العيوب غفار الذنوب الله ہم گنہگار ہے سیاہکار ہے بدکار ہے مجرم اور خطاکار ہے My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate loving Allah, most merciful, most beneficent Allah, my beloved Allah, my beloved Allah. يا ستار العيوب غفار الذنوب الله We are acknowledging every sin of ours from the time we became of age up till now. My Allah, we have wasted our life in amusement, in entertainment, in pastime, in idle chit-chat, in gossiping, in engagement in so many kind of haram activities. So much of our wealth, so much of our health has been used in your disobedience and the disobedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, day and night we have been rebellious. Tere ahkam ki jaan boojh kar nafarmani karte rahe. But who do we turn towards, my beloved Allah, besides you? تیرے سوا ہمارا کوئی سہارا نہیں تیرے سوا کوئی ہمارا نہیں مجھ کو جینے کا سہارا چاہیے غم تمہارا دل ہمارا چاہیے There is no support for us besides your support. Ya Allah, our lives are in your control, our health, our sight, our hearing, our speech, the ground on which we walk, the homes in which we live. Every inch of ground that we walk is in your control. The heavens and the earth in your control. My beloved Allah, by disobeying you and displeasing you, we have harmed ourselves, we have done great injustice to our own souls. We have not caused any kind of hurt to you, my Allah. Ya Allah, if the entire mankind has to disobey you, if the entire mankind has to engage in kufr and shirk, my beloved Allah, it will not cause you any harm. And if the entire mankind has to engage in ibadat, in zikr, in tilawat, if the entire mankind has to become believers, it will not increase, my beloved Allah, your glory and your, in any way. We are benefiting and we are harming ourselves, my beloved Allah. If we do good, we are benefiting ourselves. And if we do evil, we are harming ourselves. My beloved Allah, give us the realization. Give us the realization that this life is temporary, it's transitory. Every second that is gone will never come back. The infancy that's gone will never come back in youth. And the youth that is dead, gone will never come back in middle age. And the middle age that's gone will never come back when the person has turned old. And if the person leaves this world and goes to the grave, he will never come back into this world. My beloved Allah, we all have to turn to dust someday. You have created the heavens and the earth for our benefit. Ya Allah, let us make use of it in a manner that is pleasing to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Distance us from haram. Let us not be obsessed, my beloved Allah, with the wealth of this world. Ey mere Allah, hamare haal par raham farma. Hamare haal par raham farma. Have mercy upon us, my Allah. Overlook our shortcomings, weaknesses and faults. Overlook the shortcomings, the weaknesses and the faults of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Open the floodgates of maghfirat for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Open the floodgates of mercy for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us all with the best of this world and the best of akhirat. Ya Allah, don't deprive us of the goodness of this world and akhirat. Ya Allah, bless us with barakat in our rizq and sustenance. Bless us with plenty full of halal rizq, but full of barakat, my Allah. Don't let even one morsel of haram go down our throats. Don't let even one rain or one cent of haram come into our earnings. My beloved Allah, protect us and safeguard us from all haram. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. We are spiritually sick, we are physically ill. Ya Allah, bless us with shifa from all our ailments. Bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Ek din marna hai, akhir maut hai. When the time of our departure from this world comes, bless us with shahadat in Madina Tawayyiba. Bless us with burial in Baqi. And if it is not muqaddar and destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state you are pleased with us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made du'as for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummat with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every one who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. My beloved Allah, fulfill their good wishes and desires. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the sicknesses and problems of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, with your fazl, with your kindness, with your ihsan, remove their suffering, their pain, their problem, their difficulties. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri, jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. Koi mujhse puche main kya mangta hu, main apne khuda se khuda mangta hu. ہو جائے میرا میں ہو جاؤں اس کا یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا ہوں ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع الحليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.